All right. Now, you have not only been busy on Battlestar Galactica, you've also been working on other projects, including like Rest Stop, Eureka, and Wrong Turn 2. Where do you find the time?
That's a good question. I don't know. It's been a very busy year. I've been very fortunate. It's been a very, very busy year. I'm also doing the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which premieres in January. So it's been a very busy year.
Mm-hmm. So how did you become involved with Rest Stop?
Rest Stop was interesting. The timing came about right as I had just finished season two, and I hadn't started season three yet, and I was approached to do this horror movie that was directed by John Shyvan, who works on Supernatural and also worked on X-Files. So when I really wanted to work with him on this project, just because of the things that he, you know, had done, and the timing was perfect. It was right on my what little time off I had between season two and season three.
Mm-hmm.
I also was really glad I took the project on because John let me have total creative freedom. I mean, I came at him with some pretty weird ideas. You know, I wanted to score the entire film basically with a banjo and a fiddle representing the villain and an alto flute representing the heroine. And it's not the typical horror movie approach, you know, where you're supposed to take the movie and plaster it with a bunch of atonal orchestral screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I really
mm-hmm.
wanted to create something melodic. I mean, my goal was to create a score that sounded like it came out of a horror movie in the 70s, which was before the music became that, horror music became really that chaotic. We even, you know, did the old tried and true trick where we turned the main character's theme into a pop song, which used to happen all the time.
Right.
I mean, but you just don't hear it happening that much anymore. And I also got to write a couple other songs, including a demented, evil, satanic gospel song. So, I mean, I just had a blast. And John let me do basically whatever I wanted. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was really like being a kid in a candy store, getting to explore a lot of these, you know, instruments that I certainly don't get to do on Battlestar.
Right. So do you look at something as a project like Rest Stop as kind of like a, well, I'll use the word rest stop from Battlestar Galactica?
I do. I mean, I look at it as a way to explore different kinds of drama. And with any other project I take on, I mean, I'm not really looking for projects that pay a lot of money. I mean, it's great when they do, but I'm really looking for projects that I'm passionate about, and also that let me do something different. It's the main reason I took on Sci-Fi Channel's Eureka,
mm-hmm.
which is about as night and day different from Battlestar as you can possibly get. And then, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I can put together a really good record. Like, for example, the Rest Stop album with all the different really truly melodic cues and the songs. Like, I'm really proud of that record, you know, and I hope it's one that people slowly discover over time, you know. I mean, because it's a good record and it's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I recall correctly, is there going to be a Rest Stop 2?
There is, actually.
Are you going to be involved with that?
We don't know yet. I actually, I've been going back and forth with the director. We're trying to get our schedules to work out, and originally it didn't look like my schedule would be open, but there is a possibility now with the writer's strike has really affected everybody's schedules out here
mm-hmm.
in Hollywood. So now it's suddenly, you know, might not be as booked as I thought I was.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, I would love to be able to come back because from what John's told me about the film, a lot of the characters return, and it would just be great to be able to do something where I could bring back those character themes and take them to new heights and write a new satanic gospel song.
Mm-hmm. So now, musically, what frightens you?
What frightens me?
Yes,
I think what frightens me. Boy, that is a good question. What frightens me is dissonance. But if it's controlled, for example, if you're listening to a horror film score that's nothing but screeching and wailing and crazy 20th century technique effects, and you get, after about 3 or 4 minutes, you're just going to zone it out,
mm-hmm.
you know. But to me, having a musical texture that seduces you into listening, and then these moments come up that are very dissonant. That's what really scares me, and that's what I've noticed, that especially in horror films, the guys whose work I admire the most. I mean, look at Jerry Goldsmith's scores for The Omen and Poltergeist,
mm-hmm.
which to me are among the best horror scores, if not the best horror scores ever written. And I think the same can even be said for John Carpenter's Halloween. You know, these are scores that have really accessible themes. They're beautiful, you know. They're not, that theme itself isn't necessarily terrifying, but so the melodic theme seduces you into, you know, giving yourself over to the music, and then when the composer wants to scare you, then they've got you.
Mm-hmm. So now, going back to Battlestar Galactica for just a second, one of your songs in Rest Stop was actually used in an episode of Battlestar Galactica. How did that
mm-hmm.
happen?
Well, that happened quite simply and organically. I had about 4 days to score that episode of Battlestar Galactica, and I didn't want to have to write a song in that time period. I had sent a bunch of songs to Edward James Olmos, because he directed that episode. This is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the set filming the scenes in the bar, and he called me, and he said, hey, I need some songs for the bar, and I need... He had a whole bunch of really interesting ideas about the music, but it was such short notice that I was like, all right, I'm going to throw together some stuff, and I put together a couple of songs from Rest Stop, a couple of songs from an album by a singer named Rhea Yarbrough, who mm-hmm. sings on Battlestar a lot, and a couple other things. And I just sent them to him so he could have them on the set. And then when we got to the editing room, he had actually already cut in the songs that he liked. And the three songs he liked were a song called Lord Knows I Would by Rhea Yarbrough, an original electronica piece of mine. The one that was featured by far the most prominently was the song from Rest Stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was like, well, okay, it's all yours.
All right, so now getting back to your other projects, what made you decide to become involved in Wrong Turn 2?
Wrong Turn 2, my decision to get involved was when I saw the movie. It was, again, it was something different. It was not something I had done before. This movie has a perverted sense of humor. I mean, as I watched it with the director the first time, I mean, he's in the room. I'm in the edit bay with the editor and the director. And I want to, like, laugh and cheer, and like I'm kind of holding myself back because I'm like I don't maybe these guys are like really serious, I don't want to offend them. And then finally when the movie ends, it's so over the top and ridiculous, I turned to them and I said, you guys have really serious mental problems to be able to make this movie. And then they just laugh and they're like, thank you, you get it. And I was relieved because I, you know, and as I talked to them more, I realized that you know, the director Joe Lynch and I were totally on the same page with the horror movies that we loved, and especially the 80s horror films that we grew up on. I mean, the Wrong Turn 2 is you know, two parts Evil Dead and one part Predator. So it's like all these movies that I loved, I could see all these homages, and then I pitched to Joe this idea that the story is about mutant cannibal hillbillies. So I wanted to make mutant cannibal hillbilly music. So kind of drawing from my, you know, experience on Rest Stop, we brought in banjos and fiddle and accordion and jugs and washboard, and I used a bluegrass band to score this movie, in addition to a whole bunch of really interesting, you know, crazy dissonant synthesizer textures and some orchestral moments. But all in all, it was such a fun experience. You know, I think it comes through both in the film and both on the album as well, that when you're listening to the music and you're like, okay, this is a standard horror, you know, music. I hear all the dissonant orchestral crunching and the big bass drums, and then suddenly that'll just disappear, and you'll just hear this like banjo bluegrass music for 30 seconds, and then it goes back into scary music. And I mean, to me, it's like the album is. It's funny. I mean, it's fun and it's energetic. It's very different than the tone of Rest Stop, which was very dark and somber. And there's literally not a single cue like that on Wrong Turn 2. So, I mean, obviously, I think it's, you know, that sort of music is an acquired taste. But I had a blast. I had a blast on that film.
Mm-hmm.
So and the record turned out really good too.
Well, I can just tell from the pictures on the. In the CD, especially
yeah.
the guitar jump that you were doing off the, I think it was off a couch or whatever.
Yep.
You looked like you really had a good time. Does that help? Does it help when you're when
it
you're...
absolutely does. I mean, it absolutely does. Especially when you're working with somebody like Joe, who when you realize you're on the same page with somebody, then you feel free to experiment. And this is something that is very different than my experience on Battlestar Galactica, because I don't have a really close relationship with the producers, just because they have so many other tasks they have to do, mm-hmm. and basically they trust me to do my thing. So I don't really end up talking with them that much anymore. I mean, I talk with Ron when I have a very specific task, like doing All Along the Watchtower. Mm-hmm. But working with Joe was a really hands-on experience, and he was really open to all my crazy ideas. And I mean, just the fact that I said, hey, let me score your horror movie with a bluegrass band, and he didn't fire me automatically, this is a good sign, you know?
Okay. Well, recently you did another one of your live concerts for Halloween with members of Oingo Boingo. How did that turn out this year?
Oh, it was fantastic. Every year gets better and better. This was easily our best set of concerts yet. And we had these venues packed with screaming, crazy Boingo fans. It was a blast. It was just a blast. We hope to do it again next year.
Mm-hmm. So now, what? I mean, obviously, for those that may not be that familiar with Oingo Boingo, Danny Elfman came out of that group. Is there any? Have you been able to maybe get him to return?
Oh, Danny won't ever return.
He won't.
And it's fine. No, he won't.
Okay.
That's the reason that I think everybody else really wanted to play play a show a year, is just to play in front of an audience again, just because the band definitely is not going to reunite. So I just think it's something that Danny doesn't want to do anymore, and more power to him. I mean, those guys toured for 20 years as mm-hmm. as the rock band, and Danny's doing what he wants to do now, you know. So it's not something that I think most Boingo fans know not to hold their breath for any kind of big reunion show. You know, conversely, that means that these Halloween shows that we do, where it's basically the rest of the band plus me and my brother mm-hmm. and some strings, that's the closest you're going to get, you know. And these guys, it's like they haven't lost a thing. I mean, playing with these guys is amazing. These songs come back immediately. And my brother is, he does all the lead vocals, and he's phenomenal. I mean, he's just phenomenal. The crowds do not walk away, you know, disappointed that Danny's not there. I mean, I just think that they love seeing a Boingo concert. Because mm-hmm. it really does feel like a Boingo concert when you go. It doesn't feel like you're watching a cover band or something. I mean, it feels like, you know, the energy's there, and you've got all those guys up on stage. So it's a pretty awesome experience. I, you know, have been a Boingo fan my whole life, so mm-hmm. for me to even be in the room while they do this, much less to be on stage and be the one that did all the charts and I'm conducting everybody, I mean, it's pretty awesome, you know, truly, truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.